The other day, Sarah, 8 years old, pushed aside the last part of the sandwich that we had served as if she was full, and then took 3 Oreos off the dessert plate. And I don't really blame her. I like Oreos better than sandwiches too. But I know that somewhere in the Good Parent Manual, there has to be a page on this situation. And so Priscilla and I gasped appropriately and kind of hid our smiles and said, "No, Sarah, you can't have the Oreos until you've finished your sandwich." And we were at peace with the Parent Manual once more. Sometimes we want the wrong things. Or sometimes it might be the right thing, but it's the wrong time. And God has given kids parents to help them sort out, you know, what's the right thing, what's the wrong thing, what's the right time. So who helps us to know what's the right thing and the right time, what's the wrong thing? Obviously God does. God is the one who is supposed to help us with that. And the process of prayer, what we're going to discover today is that the process of prayer is the way in which God teaches us, shows us what's the right thing. We want to talk today about the kinds of prayers that God answers. God doesn't answer all prayers, does He? So what are the prayers that God answers? We want to think about that today in this passage, and it's just a brief passage, and I'd like us just to read it together. Have your Bibles open, but if you're just so we can read it together, I'll put it on the screen so we're all looking at the same translation. Here's our passage today. Let's just read it out loud. "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him." Is that an incredible promise or what? We know that we have whatever we've asked if we ask according to His will. It's an amazing promise that God would do that. Do you have confidence in approaching God and praying? I want you to think about that today. Do you have confidence in approaching God? It says that we can have confidence in approaching God. The key is in asking for the right things. Let's just kind of preview this. What does it mean, though, to pray for the right things? What does it mean to pray according to God's will? Because He promises that He'll give us what is His will. How do we pray according to God's will? We have to evaluate what are we asking for. Are we praying for what we want, represented by the Oreo here? Are we praying for what we want, or are we praying for what God wants for us? Okay? Are we praying for what we want, or are we praying for what God wants for us? That's the question answered by these verses. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. What's the confidence we have in approaching God? What is the confidence that He is referring to here? It's not an accident that verse 14 follows 13, not just a chronological thing, but there is a sequential thought here. What did we learn 2 weeks ago now in the passage before, 11, 12, and 13? How do we know that we have eternal life? We know we have eternal life, verse 13, if we believe in the name of the Son of God. So are we believing in the name of the Son of God? That's the issue of eternal life. Interestingly, if we have that confidence of our salvation by believing in the name of the Son of God, then we also have confidence in prayer. You see, it really does matter who we know when it comes to prayer. It matters who we know, because really there's a password protection on prayer. And the password is faith in Christ. He who believes in the name of the Son of God, that's the person who has access to God in prayer. Prayer is a family privilege. Through God's Son, Jesus, we become part of His family. That's when the prayer line is flipped on. So confidence in prayer is not something that we got to work up. Okay, now I got to really, really pray really strong, really bold, really hard, and then I can punch through the clouds and get access to God. No, it's not that at all. It's that we have to be part of the family of God. You see, the confidence of verse 14 is the relationship of verse 13. If we believe in the name of the Son of God, then we are in access to, because we are in relationship with, the God who said, I'll give you eternal life through my Son, so I can also answer your prayer through my Son. What does it mean back in verse 13, just looking back to the previous verse yet, to believe in the name of the Son of God? You would have expected it would say, whoever believes in the cross. And indeed, the cross is in view. But when he says to believe in the name of the Son of God, he means to believe in the authority. It's an important phrase to think about what it is that God means when he says, in the name of. In the name of. Because does that ring a bell with prayer? We get to heaven by believing in the name of the Son of God, but how does God answer prayer? Also, it's in the name. So we have to learn to ask in the name. In the name, to pray in someone's name means to pray in someone's authority. Do they have the authority with which to grant what you're asking in their name? Well, that's exactly what Jesus Christ promises about prayer. That's not the phrase used in 1 John, but John, two different times, records in the Gospel of John, Jesus saying this very thing about prayer. Let's look at them. John 14, 13 and 14 says, Jesus says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. That's always the goal. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Pretty important phrase. What does it mean, in my name? John 16, 23, I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name, in the authority of Jesus Christ. Some Christians have used this phrase, though, misguided, as some kind of a magic formula, that if we tack it on to the end of our prayer, that somehow it kind of boosts our prayer. Kind of a, if you say in Jesus' name, you know, maybe that's a supercharger kind of a prayer, then it's gonna make it like we're twisting God's arm in heaven when we add that phrase. You know, God hears it and says, oh shucks, now I gotta do it because they said the code words, you know, in Jesus' name. That's not the idea at all. To ask in Jesus' name means that we are asking for something that already has His authority. Which is why it's essentially the same thing as saying to ask according to His will. The key to answered prayer is to ask for something that Christ has authorized. We don't always know what that is. But the key to answered prayer is to ask for something that God has ordered, something He has authorized. And frankly, there are a lot of things that we do know are His will. To pray in Christ's name means to pray for that which has His authority. During college, I worked for about 3 years in a trucking company in their shop. I wasn't overhauling engines, but I did everything that the three or four mechanics and the shop manager wanted me to do, one of which was to go and run for parts. And so throughout the day, I would be sent in the blue Ford company pickup all over Council Bluffs, Iowa, Omaha, Nebraska, going to various parts places to pick up what they needed. And so I'd go into this truck part store or whatever and dealership and I'd go up there and these people would give me hundreds, in fact sometimes thousands of dollars worth of stuff to me. Isn't that amazing? A poor college kid earning just a little more than minimum wage, and they were giving me all this stuff. I couldn't afford it. Why were they giving it to me? Well, you see, I had a magic piece of paper. It's called a purchase order. And on this purchase order, or tied to the number on the purchase order was the list of things that I was supposed to get. And so although I could not afford the parts that I was given, there was somebody who could. His name was Larry Krause, and he was the owner of Nebraska Iowa Express, and he could afford those parts. And so when I went to the counter to get the parts, I was asking for them in the name of Larry Krause, who could afford the parts. He had already previously authorized it through the shop manager and so forth, and through the purchase order, and so then I could get what I was asking for because it had already been authorized. Now let's say that in some of the cases it was actually a place that sold both truck and auto parts. Let's say I would go up to the counter and say, and by the way, I'd also like to have a new battery for a 1970 Chevy Vega. Yes, I had a 1970 Chevy Vega. It needed more than a battery, too, I'll assure you. But if I said, okay, I also want that. You say, no, can't do that. Because you see, I wasn't there to get the things that I wanted for my purposes. I was there to get the things that Nebraska Iowa Express wanted for their purposes. And that is essentially what takes place when we pray in Jesus' name. I will give you whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. So if God has determined that this brings glory to the Father, He pre-authorizes it, we ask for it, and He gives it. And so we need to learn what it is that He has authorized. Jesus has, as He said these things, was about to leave earth. And He's saying to the disciples, I'm going to be with you always, but I won't be there physically. But when I'm gone, we're still going to have a relationship. We're going to have an abiding relationship that we studied about in 1 John. We're going to have a close and intimate relationship. You can have that close relationship and you can talk to me at any time. And in fact, you can ask me for things and anything that I have pre-authorized. Anything that I order, I'll give it to you. And every time the purchase order glorifies the Father. So the job of prayer is to find out what's on the purchase order. To find out and seek that which we know to be God's will, and then He will continue to unfold things that we do not yet know to be God's will. This could or should revolutionize the way we pray. To truly pray in His authority for the things He has authorized, and to pray according to His will. We often have a very odd and unbiblical view of prayer, as if God were basically just an unreliable mail order catalog. We send out our requests, and once in a while we get it. Wouldn't do business with a mail order catalog very long if it worked that way. We send our requests, once in a while it comes through. But because it's so important, we keep at it. And we try maybe revising our order, you know, tweak it a little bit here or there. Maybe I ask the wrong way. Maybe I should ask when I'm on my knees. Maybe I should ask when I'm really earnest and laying down, face down on the ground. Maybe I should ask a little bit louder. Maybe I should be sure to pray out loud. Maybe I should get other people, get enough people praying the same thing, and then it would impress God because of the quantity of my prayer. Maybe I should add on the in Jesus' name. Maybe I should promise Him things that I will do while I'm asking things that He should do for me. Is that what it says? It doesn't say that. And I wonder if sometimes as we work so hard at how we pray, it arrives in heaven before Almighty God as if it were so much manipulation and games. Because the job of prayer is not us getting what we want, but us praying for what God wants. Not just to relieve our discomfort, but to accomplish His glory and His purposes. Frankly, I think many times when we pray, if we would just think honestly, we would admit, actually, this isn't His will. I already know it. Sometimes we are actually asking for things that if we would look get the Scriptures. At a principle, we'd say, that's not His will. If I'm asking for something that just appeals to my selfishness, when He wants me to be more content, then I'm not actually asking according to His will. We need to get our eyes off of our wish list and try to discern what is on His list, because on His list, let's go back to the text now, it says, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. Now, what would happen if you just read verse 15 by itself? Just look at that. If that's the only verse you had about prayer? And that's the way some Christians treat it sometimes. We know that if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of Him. It looks like a blank check. It looks like we've gotten a shopping spree in Santa's workshop here. God is promising whatever we want, when we want it. No. There is a wonderfully designed limitation to the prayer when He says, according to His will. Can you imagine what would happen to a child who indeed could eat anything they wanted when they wanted it? All Oreos all the time, you know? No, the child's not going to be healthy at all. Can you imagine what would happen if we'd get everything we want whenever we want to? Some people can perhaps do that. It leads to emptiness, loneliness, in and out of rehab maybe. Because those are not the things that are according to the will of God, even though perhaps we can have them. Does according to the will, there's another thing we sometimes think. Does according to God's will mean that I've got this whole list of things that I want? Situations that I need changed, this to be fixed, this material thing that I want to have. There's this whole list that's my will, and then God is probably going to edit the thing, you know, and bring it down to a partial list. You know, Oreo's fine, but just two. That He's just going to edit, you know, my list. That's actually not the case at all. It's not just that we're supposed to get a moderate amount of our will, but rather that we take this list and we crumple it up and we throw it away because it's my will. And we get out a fresh piece of paper and we begin to ask and seek to know, God, what is Your will? Because I want a list that has Your will on it. So that my prayer list will match Your will. So I'm praying for things that I know that You want. That's the starting place of prayer, is throwing away our list and starting with one that God would write. So what's His will? Let's just start over. What is God's will for us? God's will is that we keep His commands. Sprinkled throughout 1 John, He said, you know, if you love me, you do what I command. If you want to abide in me, you'll do what I command. This is what glorifies God, that you do what I say, God says. So that's a biblical prayer request. In fact, it's been tied to prayer earlier in the book. The other time that John talks about prayer, if you want to look at chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. 1 John 3, 21 and 22. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. When it's our desire to please Him and do what He commands, the reason He can give us what we ask is because we're asking for what He wants. We have to ask for what He wants. So let's just think through some kinds of prayers that we know on our new list would correspond to God's will. Number one would be asking God's help in obeying. God wants us to obey Him, so it would be His will if we ask Him for help in obeying Him. God, you know I have a hard time with loving someone. Help me to love them. I have a hard time with self-control. I have a hard time with being joyful, or whatever it might be. So you fill in the blank. We know that's God's will, because He says, this is my will that you do these things, so let's pray for help. Would that be praying according to God's will? Would God answer a prayer when we're praying for help? His help, not doing it in our own flesh, but His help to obey. Of course, that would be His will. Asking for God's help in serving Him effectively, to be faithful, to serve Him in a ministry that He's assigned to us, to serve in that ministry with a willingness and a joy and strength and Faithfulness. Yeah, that'd be God's will. Pray for that. Asking God to provide resources needed to do His will. Now, we sometimes would have a different list of resources. God knows what we need. But to pray for resources to accomplish His will is within His will. Where He guides, He provides. And so we would pray for that. Asking God for wisdom in choices when we don't yet know His will or plan. Sometimes it really is it's an A or a B. I got to go down this fork of the road or that fork of the road. I don't know which one's right. Do I go to this college or that college? Do I take this job, that job, move here, don't move there? What do we do? And we want God's will. And so we can pray for wisdom to follow principles, biblical principles of advice and priorities and so forth to be able to find what His will really is. It would be biblical to ask God for character growth while we wait for His will or plan. You know, sometimes something God is doing or showing or directing us to do doesn't just lay out there and say, you know, there's a point on the map, go do it. So perhaps He is producing character growth in us. In fact, we know He is. These different things that produce patience and endurance and so forth. So pray that we would get the growth spiritually we need while we're seeking to discover His plan. These are prayers that we know fit God's will. It's truly what we know God wants. Have we been praying for the right things? We're asking God to give us what makes us more selfish when He wants to make us more grateful. Sometimes we're praying essentially that God would make us more like our friends when His will is to make us more like Him. Why would God answer a prayer that is in direct opposite of what His will actually is? I looked up a couple of places where it speaks specifically of things that we know to be God's will, and I noticed that God's will is that we would not be like the world. Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. That's His will. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Then you'll know what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So we know that His will is that we are not like the world. So we have to say, Lord, gotta add this to my list. Lord, help me not to be like the world. In what sense? That we don't have jobs, or we don't eat food, or drive cars? No, but what are you talking about? That I not be like the world in what ways? So in what ways, Lord, am I like the world that You want to take that out of my life that I'm not like? I don't think like, I don't act like, I don't do those things. And then there's specific things such as 1 Thessalonians 4:3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, made more holy. For example, that you should avoid sexual immorality. So that's an example. We know this, it says, it's God's will. So if it's outside of God's will for morality, then don't do that. We know that's God's will. So we conform our desires to what His desires are. Don't be like the world. That's a very clear one. When we start thinking this way, do we see what that begins to do about our desperation prayers for quick fixes, for comfortable situations, for material things? It gives us a whole new framework in which to pray. God, does this conform to Your will for me? About the kind of person You want me to be. It would be illogical for God to do that which is in violation of His will. So we don't have to pray for things we know to be a violation. Now, if we've established that thought, there's probably some prayer questions flooding around our mind, such as, so that mean we can't ask about anything physical or financial in our life? I mean, that's the currency of life. Can we not pray about our concerns about money, for example? Absolutely we can pray. The mortgage or the rent or is due, the money for gas, a lot of money for gas, groceries, whatever it might be, we're short, we're struggling, there's a need. Jesus said to pray, give us this day our daily bread. There's nothing wrong with praying for daily bread. We know that's within his His will. There might be other things He'd speak to about wisdom in spending money, if that got us in the situation. It might be about trials, if it was the transmission that had to be repaired, and that's why we can't pay. We don't know what else He might teach us in that process, but we can pray for daily bread. But very many times, as Americans, we're praying for a lot more than daily bread, because we got our eyes on improving something. We want a better this. We'd like to have this, and we've never had this. And so when we think about material things, we don't really know if it's God's will or not. How can we pray according to God's will in issues like that? Because they do face us all the time. There's a neat passage in Matthew 6, and we won't go there today, but I want to refer you to it and give you a little list, maybe a grid through which you think and pray through as you are contemplating praying about wanting certain things financially, materially. First of all, the priority on spiritual things. Let's not forget what we've just been learning. And then secondly, let's pray according to God's will about material things. And in this passage, and you'll recognize from Jesus' words, some of you will recognize some of these passages. But here's the grid you'd put it through to see, is this God's will? How does it affect this issue in my life? When Jesus says, don't store up treasures on earth, but store up treasures in heaven. Does it fit the priority God has for my life financially that I would be storing up for heaven instead of storing up for earth? Does it fit that priority? That's a discerning question to ask as I contemplate some kind of financial material future. Where am I storing up treasures? Secondly, remember that passage where it says no man can serve two masters? Can't serve God and money? Okay, what's controlling me? What's driving me? What's motivating me in this decision, this desire? What is behind this? Is it serving money or is it serving God? Jesus says you can't do both. What about emotionally? Jesus said, don't worry about material things like unbelievers do. Unbelievers, the pagans, run after these things that he said, meaning unbelievers naturally are, oh dear, how am I going to take care of retirement? How am I going to pay this bill? He said, no. You've got a heavenly Father who's taking care of you. So you don't have to worry about those things. So we have to emotionally pray spiritually about the emotional issues, you could say. God, help me to trust you. Rest calmly in light of the things I'm worrying about. Okay, and then when we've thought through those issues, and I encourage you to study this passage, then he makes that statement that we're familiar with. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Remember that? Seek first God's will by being righteous, and God will add the material things he wants us to have. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Which half of that verse is the prayer? First or second? The first. Seek, pray about his kingdom. What's God trying to do here? And his righteousness, what am I supposed to do in response to who God is and what he's told me to do? And actually, it's not even saying that we have to pray about the second half. Not that it's wrong to, but seek ye first his kingdom. He says, and God's going to add all the things that he wants to give you. Matthew 7:11, Jesus said that our Heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts to his children. In fact, if we think in terms of our own life, our culture, our conveniences, and our cars and places to live and so forth, what's really most amazing or even puzzling is the fact that we would have all this when throughout the centuries Christians never had, and even throughout our world today they don't have it. We're just kind of this unique little block on this particular part of the world that even has those things. So he says, seek first the important things, the godliness issues. Pray that you'd be righteous, holy. We struggle with that, don't we? What an impure world we have, and we should be praying that we could be holy in the midst of an impure world. Pray that we'd be patient. It's so hard to be patient in a hurry-up society. Patient in relationship problems. Patient in financial issues, patient with the people we work with our kids, with our husband, with our wife, patience. Pray that we'd be more joyful. We know these are all God's will because they're parts of the fruit of the Spirit. Pray that we'd be more self-sacrificing. You see, the real battle is the battle of whose will we want. You know, if really what we want is more money or more stuff, we should just stop praying about it. Because it's just our will. If really that's our inner desire, just the stuff we want, just go to the bank and borrow it or ask it from mom and dad or get a second job. Because we're just pursuing our will, we might as well do it our way. But if what we want is God's values and character about money and material things, then let's pray for contentment. Let's pray for gratitude for what we have. Let's pray for generosity, unnatural as it is to give away. But let's pray, if we're going to pray, let's pray according to God's will. That's what He says. He answers according to His will. That which has His authority. We know those things have authority. The other things, if it's just our will, let's just do it our way. We often pray for our children. If our heart's desire is just that our child be successful in worldly terms. If our heart's desire is that our child is happy, you know, whatever you do, just keep him happy. We really don't need to pray about that. It's just our will. In fact, what's behind our will, if it's just that they be successful, is often our own image and pride issues. And we know that that isn't even God's will, so no point praying about it because we're actually praying that God would enhance our pride. Or if we're praying that our child just be happy, many times the issue is that we just want to be more comfortable because we're more comfortable when they're happy. Or it could be that we don't want to teach them or confront them, and both of those things are not His will, so why pray that they be happy when we'd have to violate the will of God to do it? If we just want them to be happy and successful, then let's just go ahead and do it. Micromanage their lives, get them the most fashionable clothes, make sure they socialize with the right people, get them all to the right schools at no matter what cost, give them whatever they want, because we don't want God's will. I know I'm being facetious in the way I'm saying this, but do you see the point? That if we just want our will, why are we praying about it? Prayer is for when we are conforming ourselves to God's will. But if we begin to pray that God would transform the way we view money, transform the way we see our child's future, and begin to pray for their spiritual growth, and that God would use this hard time not to take away the pain too soon until they would learn the character traits that we earnestly desire that they would have. We begin to pray that thing, it's like all of a sudden heaven wakes up, and I can imagine just God kind of going, this is refreshing. And heaven hears the word that somebody wants to be more content, more grateful, more godly, wants their children to be those things. And the triune God pays attention. And it says in verse 14, He hears us because they're seeking first the kingdom. And God issues the order, do it. This person wants to be grateful. Give them the spiritual strength to be grateful. This person wants to be holy and pure. Give them the strength to be holy and pure. This person wants patience. God says, put a delay on that one. You know the old thing? I want patience. I want it right now. Okay. But the order would go out from God. Okay, allow over the next 5 years the exact right trials and blessings and encouragements so that they could develop the patience, the endurance that they're asking for. And God answers, and God answers, and God answers, because we're then praying for God's will. On the issue of trials, kind of a long passage, but I just want us to read it in light of prayer. We don't often think of this as a prayer passage when we see James 1. Verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Fill in the blank. You're supposed to somehow rejoice about them. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Ah, that's God's will. And perseverance must finish its work so that you might be mature and complete. Oh, that's God's will. Not lacking anything, at least anything that has value. Verse 5 is still in the same paragraph. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Now, we can rightly apply this verse to needing wisdom in any situation, but specifically, do you see what he's actually talking about? I remember I was studying this book in a class on James in seminary, and I was, when I heard that, I never thought of that. If you lack wisdom, meaning wisdom to get the perseverance and maturity that you're supposed to get from trials. God, give me wisdom that I would be one who goes through trials gaining the spiritual maturity that you want to give me in this thing. That is God's will. And we're praying for God's will in trials, and God will give it because that's what He wants to do. That's what we pray for in pain. Sometimes we're a little more like an angry baby getting his immunization at the clinic. Just, in other words, take away the pain. That's all we're thinking. But you know what? If we have prepared our hearts to pray biblical prayers according to the will of God, then when the trial hits us, we're a little better prepared. We can rebound from the shock a little sooner because we begin to ask and think about the question, oh, God is trying to produce this in me and my families and my friends. And so I can pray for wisdom to get the perseverance, to get the spiritual maturity that God wants to give me in this trial. Does that mean God doesn't care about our pain? That doesn't mean that at all, because God has said, cast all your care upon me because I care for you. He wrapped His arms around us and He takes us through the very thing that's accomplishing His will. Does that mean that God will never help or heal or solve or restore joy in the morning? No, because He's a God who does those things as it fits into His will. He is a God who is totally able and can do those things as we seek wisdom to do what we know to be His will in the midst of trials. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He'll take care of everything else. God is crafting the perfect sandwich, the perfect meal for us. One that leads to spiritual growth. He says, pray according to that. He says, now, I'll take care of the Oreos in your life. I'm a God who gives good gifts. But pray that you would be spiritually healthy, spiritually strong, spiritually mature. Seek first my kingdom, and I'll add all those things to